Mic check.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
Greetings and salutations, friends. How are you today? I am Craig Sheeman, along with Pete Shepherd, Chris on the other side of the glass. I'm particularly looking forward to this Thursday show. We'll tell you why in a moment. But first, you're listening to ESPN Southwest Florida, or as I like to call it, the Sheeman and Shepherd Radio Network. You can also listen on your phone, on the app. Download it. It's free. ESPN Southwest Florida. Our website, ESPNSWFL.com. You can listen there, go back in time, listen to Sheeman Shepherd podcast, sign up for contests, great lists. In fact, there's a brand new list up there now of baseball ballparks that we missed. Mm-hmm. The top 10. Go check it out. Joe Winter just put it up. You can follow us on Twitter at ESPNSWFL. You can follow me at Craig ESPN. You can follow Pete Shepherd at PSHEP326. You can follow Chris at ChrisNSWFL. Our phone number and our Stony Brook Golf Club text line remain the same, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Love to hear from you. Rick Hora, our business insider, will be on in the 5 o'clock hour, another round of Wikipedia as well. And don't forget tomorrow's show on the road at Backstreets in Cape Coral. Hope to see you all there. Now, typically on this day, I would expect to come in here and lead off by talking about Tiger Woods or the PGA Championship or how even John Daly was leading at one point today. Or maybe the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals. In fact, there were 15 goals in one game last night. Good Lord. But no, I'm going to save that for later. Because Nick Saban did his all shucks act at an alumni function last night and accused everybody of cheating with nil deals. And Jimbo and Deion Sanders, not too happy. It is Radio Gold. Pete Shepherd, how are you today?
This is like back in our day with less filling. Tastes great. The old Miller Lite commercials that were awesome. This is absolutely fantastic. I've got a couple of theories. We're going to give you all the sound. We're going to give you... Saban first of what he said yesterday, and then the response by Jimbo. Deion has tweeted, but hasn't spoken officially yet, but he will. And there is so much to dissect and analyze here. It's fantastic. Most college football I've heard on the national shows in forever.
Yeah.
Because this is the only time they can talk about it, because the minutia stuff. But since we know a lot more about it than they do, we can get way more into it. And I think what... without taking sides, Nick Saban, to me, this is either really brilliant what he's doing, and I'll explain my reasons okay. why, right. Or he's going to have the entire college football coaching incestuous posse line up against him, and for whatever that means, for whatever that's worth. But the one thing Nick Saban, and I know he knows this, and you want to talk about, you know, Tuscaloosa as opposed to A&M, and I know you've done football games there, and you say it smells like cow poo-poo, but there's a big difference. There is a lot more money in Texas than there is in Alabama. Mm-hmm. Fact. Mm-hmm. It's you're going to get more nil over there because it's an oil-producing state, as many have, you don't have to be a genius to figure that out.
Yes.
Not that you can't have millionaires at any major college football or basketball program, no matter where you are in this country. You can form your own sort of booster union, really, if you really want to. But let's face it, there's just a lot more money in Texas than Alabama. Plain and simple.
Fact.
It just is. So I'm sorry if he feels like, that the world is catching up to him and that he's the only one. He claims he's the only one doing it right. He's still got tremendous class coming in. It's still going to be, favored to win it. Be right there, the top two, top three in the end. And I'll explain my other theory. The thing is, let's remember, this is what I think my take is, where he might be doing the genius part of him saying this.
I'm interested to hear that. I want to see where you're going.
This was not some willy-nilly podcast thing that he did.
No.
This was last night to a group of business leaders in Alabama, Alabama's second largest city, by the way. People that could form major nil collectives to benefit Alabama. He didn't do. He did this on purpose in a lot of ways. Now maybe he could have been a little more democratic about it to say not. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he could have been. He could have maybe chosen his, instead of saying people that he's the only one that did it the right way. Whatever. He could. I think he could have made his point without throwing other coaches under the bus. But he did this absolutely in front of that group of people, which I think is genius. To say, hey, that was basically, hey, kick. We got to start getting the game here, or we're going to get passed by.
Well, that's what I think Jimbo did right away. The minute the litigation came down that allowed for nil, he got the big wigs together at A&M and said, all right, let's start pulling some money. Let's get some nil deals. I think Nick, if I'm to believe everything, went by the letter of the law where schools are not supposed to help with the nil. They're supposed to be up to the kids to do it. Maybe that's where he erred. Maybe that's what's going on here. He said something. He said that only 24 players at Alabama got nil deals for a total of $3 million. And we know his quarterback got $800,000 of that. So you're telling me 23 other players only got $2 million?
No, I'm not buying it.
If that's true, then they're not doing their job over there.
No, exactly. He threw out Jacksonville State. He threw Miami under the bus, too. The same thing, as he've said.
Well, Deion got Division I player with a $1 million nil deal that was in the papers the next day, and Saban's pointed out last night, and now Deion's all bothered.
Well, he's responded to that, too, which we'll get to as well.
But maybe, Jimbo's maybe, really hot.
Maybe, yeah, Jimbo is really hot. So again, I think Nick was trying to make a point to these group of business leaders in Tuscaloosa, again, Alabama's second largest city, people who could form like a major nil collective here. I think that's smart. Nice. That's smart of Nick to do that. Get that out there. I just, you know, I understand what he said. I don't like the way he said it. You know, and if you talk about boosters, this is what has been going on. The school is not giving them money. It's not the school. It's the boosters that are leading these kids in the direction that they've always led them in. It's just now it's not under the table anymore. It's out in the open. So tough. They should be getting paid. It's a billions of dollars industry. And, you know, Nick's making $9.5 million, whatever it is, a year. I heard a stat on the way home last night. Mike Krzyzewski last year.
Oh, yeah.
Got 60% of the entire athletic budget.
Yeah.
60%.
He made like $12 million last year. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Hold that thought. Yeah. We'll also get the retort from the Alabama side of the glass with Chris. But first, he's got some business to do. It is 7 minutes and 40 seconds past the hour. It's time for a SportsCenter rundown, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Chris. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Round one of the PGA Championship is underway. Rory McIlroy is your leader. He's at 5-under through 16 holes on the day. Tom Hoagie just won back solo second tonight. Heat host the Celtics in game two of the Eastern Conference Finals. Celtics going to be without guard Derek White. He is with his wife for the birth of their child. Marcus Smart listed as probable dealing with the foot. And Al Horford also out for the Celtics, still in the health and safety protocols of the NBA.
And Tiger just bogeyed eight, so I think he's plus three with one hole to go.
Also, Ime Udoka is back tonight, too. So, whatever.
All right, Crystal Ball. We're just scratching the surface. Plenty of dynamite audio to play for you on this situation before we get rolling a little bit. What do you think was behind Nick Saban's comment yesterday? Was it an aw shucks moment, or was it surgically planned like Pete suggests?
Well, I hadn't thought of the surgically planned, like bring it up around the right people. I like that, actually.
Yeah.
That's a much more positive spin than I was going to put on this.
Oh, what was your gut feeling?
He sounds like the old man saying, get off my porch. We need to get back to the way things used to be. You're not changing it.
Yeah.
The toothpaste is out of the tube. It's not going back in. Quit bitching. Go out and get money for your kids. If Texas A&M is doing it, better believe Texas is doing it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They're coming to the SEC pretty soon.
Yeah.
You got to get with the times. I thought it was not a great look for Nick Saban.
Also, and I know he's hot because I think A&M signed like 8 5 stars, which is unheard of.
Yeah, Craig,
they were all players that were both.
Craig, they had more than the Big Ten.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had more.
Oh, I think the Big Ten only had like three.
They had more 5 stars signed with Texas A&M than the entirety of the Big Ten.
I think he could have made his point without saying, like you said, Chris, the get off my lawn thing. He could have just said, hey, we got to catch up with everybody else here. We can do this legally now. Talking to this big group of business leaders in Tuscaloosa, you know, telling everybody, you know, get me, say, hey, maybe explain to them, maybe even up to now, some of these boosters or business leaders that he spoke to didn't think that they could help as much as they could, because maybe they thought it was still illegal. And, you know, he could, I'm sure he reiterated to them that now is the time. I just think he could have done it without throwing, you know, Jacksonville State and Miami and A&M under the bus.
I think the Miami one was fair to bring up. Isaiah Wong said, if I don't get more nil money, I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm. And got it that day.
He said, COB, 5 o'clock, yeah. I yeah. need my money.
I love COB.
Yeah. And I mean, before Saban said anything about that, I said, that's not what NIL was here for.
Yeah.
That's not the reason that we opened this up and let kids starting to go profit off of their name, image, and likeness. Mm-hmm. I agreed with that 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
As far as I know, Texas A&M does not have an Isaiah Wong on their team. They don't. They haven't had a kid say, if you give me, you better give me more money or I'm transferring out of the program.
Or as far as we know, because Wong did it on the record, which I thought was stupid.
Well, his representation
his
did
representation
it. He didn't
did
do it.
And yeah, he didn't do it. But but I still contend, and Ricardo will have what John Ruiz is doing over there, the head of the, what he, they are doing it the right way. And for the most part, they're doing it the right way. And everybody's talking about them, how they're doing it, and just trying to emulate everything that they're doing.
Nick Saban was making the point, we can't play the full audio cut because it's a 7-minute answer that Nick Saban went on. I mean, started talking and he just didn't stop.
Yeah.
But he was saying, like, there are no rules. The NCAA can say whatever they want. The fact is, if the NCAA puts a rule in, a kid hires a lawyer to challenge the ruling, the NCAA can't take on 1,000 lawsuits at a time, so they'll end up just throwing all the lawsuits out. So ultimately, Nick Saban's point was, the NCAA is powerless. We need some sort of structure to NIL that everybody can play under the same playing field.
Yeah, and he reiterated that to this group of business leaders last night. And I'm sure there's going to be a response. I'm sure that some. Now, it still may not be as good as people wanting to go to the state of Texas, whichever school, or going to Miami. Or this is why I think USC is going to be a contender and much sooner rather than later, because those kids are going to get major deals out there. Lincoln's going to do a good job. You know, this is only the beginning, and NCAA has nobody to blame but themselves. And no one's complaining, I don't think, in this room that the kids are getting paid. They all should be. This is long, long overdue. And we all knew that they were getting paid. I don't care if you were at Clemson, South Carolina, or Miami of Ohio. It doesn't matter. Certain players on certain teams, and you know, mostly basketball and football, and other sports as well. You know, we've seen volleyball and crew teams, baseball, softball. I mean, it's just out there. The other thing about Saban is, 2013, remember this guy complained about up-tempo offenses ruining the sport. Mm-hmm. So then he hires Lane Kiffin in 2015 as the OC. They totally, you know, do a 180 with their offense, more up-tempo. So since then, Alabama's won, what, 3 national titles, played in 3 more?
Yeah.
And in the last 3 drafts, they've produced 5 first-round wide receivers and 2 first-round quarterbacks. So, you know, come on. Imagine to complain about up-tempo offenses ruining the sport.
That's the way
it's your job as a coach to overcome, adjust, and adapt.
All right, let's listen.
Well, and ultimately, I think that Alabama will figure out a way to be competitive on the football field.
No one's saying that at all.
Says at this current rate, it's unsustainable. We're going to get out-recruited. Yeah. This is the way it's going to be.
Well, it's just not. He's not going to be the clear-cut favorite anymore every single year, right at the top of the list. Yeah. That's going to change. In fact, it's changed already a little bit.
Yeah.
They're still going to be at the top, and everybody's top 3 and 1, you know, preseason 1. There's no question about it. It's just going to be a little bit harder now.
Well, we have a lot of sound to get to. Some will be in Sound Street. Let's give you a little sample of what's going on. Again, this is Nick Saban last night saying, look, last year in recruiting, A&M was the number 1 recruiting class. We're number 2. And here he is saying, though, that they bought every player they have.
I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
And again, I don't know if anybody's buying what he's saying.
Bad choice of words right there.
Right.
Bad choice of words.
And then he also threw in Deion at Jackson State. Remember, they got the player Travis Hunter, who everybody expected was a Division I DP, and he got a $1 million nil deal and went to Jackson State. And then Saban brought that up in front of everybody. Also ripped on the Miami basketball that y'all mentioned a moment ago. Here's the actual cut.
I mean, Jackson State paid a guy $1 million last year that was a really good Division I player to come to school. It was in the paper, and they bragged about it. Nobody did anything about it. I mean, these guys at Miami that are going to play basketball there for $400,000, it's in the newspaper. The guy tells you how he's doing it. So, but the NCAA can't enforce their rules because it's not against the law.
Coach Prime tweeted out, by the way, Deion Sanders, you best believe I will address that lie Coach Saban told tomorrow. This was last night. I wasn't awakened by my son that sent me the article stating that we paid Travis Hunter $1 million to play. We as a people don't have to pay our people to play with our people. Then he went on to say, I don't even make $1 million. Travis Hunter tweeted out, I got $1 million, but my mom's still staying in a 3-bedroom house with 5 kids.
Mm. All right.
And in fairness, that wasn't Jackson State. That was Barstool Sports.
Yeah.
That signed Travis Hunter to the deal.
Yeah.
Now, Barstool Sports, Deion Sanders is an employee of them.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
a little laundering going on.
That's definitely the water is muddy there, but I don't know how you get it. How is that any different than Nick Saban going to his buddy, the Mercedes-Benz car dealership, and saying, how about hooking Bryce Young up with a six-figure deal? I just don't see the difference
there. It's
just
a hypocrisy. It's just, first, in all fairness, really, all these coaches should just be quiet.
Yes.
They're really just all of them, every one of them. Just
well, we'll hear from Jimbo later.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I used to work there. I know what they do. They better be quiet. You don't want to open that up.
Yeah.
All right. You got some fine bomb standby on ready?
Well, I want to hear the Jimbo's response to Nick's.
We got tons of it here. I mean, it's all the same stuff. It's just shorter cuts of what you have
all
put together for later on.
Well, hang on. Let me find. Give me 1 second here.
All right. Tell you what. Let's play cut 6. Fair and balanced. We'll hear a little Jimbo. Here is Jimbo Fisher denying that they bought players, and he rips on Saban.
It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organization. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws. They're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen. And it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top and the parody in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parody. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families in Texas A&M because we do things right. We're always going to do things right.
Mm. Right. By the way, while I was playing, I just saw Tiger Woods hit the worst shot of his career that I've ever seen. It went about 5 feet trying to chip onto the green, and he missed it short. This is the 8th hole. I think this is the 3rd shot. His drive was off to the right.
Pretty good recovery.
He hit past the hole.
He hit way past the hole. Now he should make that putt for par for about, what, 3.5 feet?
I don't think that's par. Is that par,
or is that par or bogey?
I think that's for bogey.
Yeah.
I don't like Jimbo saying he's going after kids. He's not.
He's not. He's going after Jimbo.
He's going after you.
Exactly.
You don't have to defend your kids. Yeah. Your kids are, if they're legal, then they can defend themselves.
Smart by Jimbo, though, to throw that.
But this is the stupid argument that always happens. It's on one hand, they're 18 years old. Yeah, they're grown-ups. Let them make their money. And on the other hand, they're just kids.
They're just kids.
You don't get to have it both ways.
Right. Exactly. All right, here's Finney's response this morning on Get Up.
It feels like college football season.
When's this game, by the way? October 8th?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
All right.
What is your reaction to Saban and these comments calling out Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M?
Ryan, I am gobsmacked by what he said. Not because I haven't heard him insinuate that privately, but for Nick Saban, the greatest coach of all time, to go public and accuse one of his biggest rivals of essentially cheating, although that's open for interpretation, is really stunning. He has insinuated this in the past, but one thing you have to remember about Nick Saban, He always is complimentary toward everyone else, even when you know it's passive aggressive. But this was way off script. He's been leading toward this for some time, but that volcano erupted last night.
It sure did. How worried do you think Saban is that this could impact Alabama's dominance?
Well, I think he's very worried. Let's remember a couple of things. He lost to Jimbo Fisher last year in College Station, first time he had ever lost to one of his assistants. He lost a national championship game to another assistant. And now you have a new force in recruiting. And some people will say, well, Alabama has everything going for them. They do. They put more players through the pros. They do this. They do that. However, they do not have as deep a pockets to buy players as Texas A&M. Oh. Texas A&M is an oil-rich state. Alabama is not. And I think that's really what really concerns Saban here. These new collectives, which are way too complicated to explain in a short period of time, are giving boosters the right to go out and bring players in, even though it's technically against the NCAA rules. But Ryan, guess what? There's no such thing as NCAA rules anymore. It's the wild, wild west. The NCAA really doesn't care, despite what they say. So if you want to cheat, it's open season.
There you go.
What is your...
Gobsmacked is the word of the day.
Well, you hear a lot on in England. The Europeans use that word quite often. And
all is that befuddled?
All the cooking shows that I watch, it's so funny how often by English people from England use that word. I love it.
Gobsmacked. It's just, I am gobsmacked. It's
a great, great word.
Rory just hit like a 20-foot putt on his last hole for a birdie. He's in at 5-under-65 for the day for a one-stroke lead over Zalatoris and Hoagie at the PGA Championship. I don't think Tiger's cleaned up yet. I think he's shooting for bogey or double. I can't. Well, I'll find out in a minute. All right.
Clemson Tiger says everything Saban does says is calculated. This doesn't seem like it was. No, I mean, and I'm with you for half of what you said. Like I said, I think the part that was calculated is he brought this up last night with this particular big time business leaders in Tuscaloosa. I think that absolutely was calculated.
Now,
and was smart on his part.
Let me ask you this: whether it was calculated or an off script moment that went awry. To what extent do you think Saban, who claims he doesn't even know how to send a text, is he aware of what's blowing up today in the media? Because he's kind of in his own world.
Oh, God.
He's in his own world.
Oh, no. He's
out in the lake taking a bath.
No, he knows.
He knows. Don't fall for that nonsense.
I'm not falling for it. I just simply asked the question.
No, I think he's very aware of it. In fact, did I not see something that he tried?
He tried
to call Jimbo, and Jimbo said, I'm not taking the call.
Their relationship's over. According to Jimbo.
I think it's been over for a while.
Yeah.
Last year, and A&M finally beating him last year.
All right, Woods for bogey from about 3.5, 4 feet on his final hole. This will put him at +4.
A&M is at Alabama on October 8th.
October 8th.
And you can go ahead and pencil that in for 3:30 on CBS.
Yeah. All right, Tiger finish +4. That's 9 strokes off the lead.
Who else is playing that day? Let's see.
I'm curious to see how the Texas Longhorn fans, what kind of reception they give Nick Saban.
Oh.
Well, I don't know. He went after their rival. They might like it.
He might, but you know what?
Sometimes... He's also spurned that program a couple of times, if you believe reports, that he's leveraged Texas to get more money out of Alabama.
Yeah. I don't know, but it may also be like Texas be like, hey, only we can rip our ride. You can't do it. You can rip Georgia.
Right.
You stay over there.
Yeah,
you
talk about Auburn.
A&M is our rival. We hate them, but it's our rivalry, not yours. You stay away.
Yeah. All right, more sound coming up from all this. And also, by the way, there's an NBA playoff game and a couple of hockey games last night. High scoring. Opposite of soccer.
Carolina wasn't, but...
one of them.
9-6.
Great win by Carolina.
You think if you score 6 goals in a hockey playoff game, you're winning that game. Not so fast.
Yeah, that was amazing. Most goals since 93, I believe, and it was amazing.
All right. Also, Bill Burr, the comedian, coming to Hertz Arena November 20th. Part of the Bill Burr Slight Return Tour. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10, but you can win them before you can buy them. So be listening today. Later on this program, we'll be giving away tickets to Bill Burr at Hertz Arena. You can get all the info at ESPNSWFL.com. Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard. Chris on the other side of the glass. Don't forget tomorrow's show. This time tomorrow, Woo-hoo. We will be at Backstreets in Cape Coral doing our show out there. We've been there many times before, so come on out and join us. We'll watch some more of the PGA Championship. By the way, Rory finished at 5-under. Tiger was in his group. He just bogeyed the final hole. He is +4, not looking great. I just saw him do his interview. I didn't hear it.
He was
smiling.
Smiling. He wasn't
sweating beads. All I mean, it's hot, but which is good. He
just walked the 18 holes too.
Yeah. So I'd be curious to see what he said later on.
I'm looking at the that day, October 8th.
The day that A&M plays Alabama. That's at where's that at?
At Alabama.
At Alabama, at Tuscaloosa. And again, Nick Saban has basically criticized the way Jimbo does nil deals. He threw Dion under the bus. Everybody is hot under the collar, and they all hate Nick Saban right now. Well, more audio coming up.
It's week 6, if you're keeping track at home. Some other notable games that day, Texas against Oklahoma.
Oh, wow, the Red River.
Yeah.
That's your big noon kickoff.
This one will be on ESPN. I'll predict ESPN. Michigan at Indiana for you.
That's a win.
North Carolina.
Noon on the deuce.
Carolina. It might be Big Ten Network.
No, Michigan. They'll put them on.
No, I'll be out. That's the noontime on the deuce. Yeah. Miami hosting North Carolina. Let's see. What else we got? Oregon and Arizona. Missouri at Florida. Auburn at Georgia.
That might be a 3-3. CBS has a decision to make there.
I think there's no decision.
I don't think there's a decision.
I don't think so either.
It's A&M, Alabama. Unless, for some crazy reason, that A&M and Alabama both have two losses or something stupid like that, you know, or it's not as meaningful of a game.
I don't see Alabama having two
losses. That's what I said. Something stupid crazy would have to happen for that game not to be 3:30. Tennessee at LSU, eh. Arkansas at Mississippi State, eh. Mm. Notre Dame. Notre Dame BYU, that'll be a nighttime game.
Well, don't Mississippi State and Arkansas say Notre Dame and BYU is a great matchup.
No, I'm not saying it's not a great matchup. I'm saying what could be at the same time slot that could bump them out. So,
Thirsty.
I think that's a real good game, Mississippi State.
Thirsty Nick says, I think Saban sees the writing on the wall. Aggies are absolutely dominating recruiting in historic ways. Only a matter of time until Texas A&M wins the conference and a natty.
They need to get to a conference championship game if they're going to win the conference, something that Texas A&M is yet to do.
Yep.
So, yeah. I hear it, but let's not act like Alabama, if they have two healthy receivers against Georgia, they're probably the national champions right now. Jameson Williams going down, you cannot talk about how big of a loss that was for Alabama.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that guy.
It let Georgia push everybody up in the box. There was no threat over the top. But let's pump the brakes, everybody, on Nick Saban and Alabama. This is the end of it.
Stammer Time says, how about Jimbo going full scorched earth on Nick Saban? I love it. And Al House says, Nick Saban is only mad the playing field has been leveled. Go out and recruit and shut it.
Now, what I want to know if this is going to happen this year. We saw the Pac-12 yesterday. You don't have to play. There's no more divisions. They are technically, but you don't have to abide by the Pac-12 is going to play the two best conference winning percentages. Doesn't matter where you finish. Anywhere else, they're going to, in one division or another. And I wonder, and that's this year they're going to start that. And I wonder if the SEC, the Big Ten, the ACC are going to follow suit.
I think they will. At least
like before the season starts this year.
I don't think this year, but I think once Texas and Oklahoma come to the SEC, at that point, you've got 16 schools. You can't have eight teams in each division. You're going to have to go to that pod system.
And I say that selfishly because I picked Alabama and Texas A&M in the final in the college football playoff. I have a much better chance of that happening if they adopt that philosophy this year.
Much better. Yes. Yeah.
So I'm all for it.
Although the loser of that Alabama A&M game, in theory, let's say the the winner's undefeated and goes to the SEC championship, we've seen Alabama with one loss get into the playoff and not play conference championship weekend.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
Right.
Well, what I'm hoping is.
So Miami, not an elimination game.
I'm just saying, I don't know if it helps your case, actually, because losing in the SEC championship game, it butts right up against when the decision's made. Do you treat that as a quarterfinal game versus a game in October? Maybe there's a discussion to be had about teams that can get better over the course of the season. You know, if you have one loss in the SEC, like you're right there.
Yeah.
You're probably one of the
four best. You're not going anywhere.
You're probably one of the four best in the country.
The conversation doesn't even start until you get the second loss.
And then,
it doesn't. It really doesn't.
In the West, you're right.
And as I'm hoping in week three on the 17th of September when Miami goes to A&M, hopefully they can work some magic. We'll see. And be highly, highly competitive, which they were last year on the whole against ranked teams, and they beat a lot of them last year, and I think they'll be better there. But that's a big – week three, that's big. A&M could probably – if A&M does lose that game, they'd have to beat Alabama again.
Flip side of that. A&M needs that game for your
For
my scenario to come true.
Yeah. They do. Because I think even if the Hurricanes lose that game, I think they're going to be highly competitive in the ACC. I think and they don't play the Clemson and North Carolina. Well, Clemson's at the end of the season, Florida State at the end. As opposed to the beginning.
All right. We will continue this throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Plenty more sound coming up at Sound Street. Should make mention here in our first hour that the Warriors beat the Mavs 112-87. Neither team could hit the side of the barn in the first half. And I pointed out to Pete before we got on the airwaves, the Western Conference game last night, which started after 9 o'clock, got over earlier time-wise than the previous night, Eastern. I mean, the game was over by 11:22.
Yeah.
So I was able to stay up and watch it.
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
And it hit the under, as I predicted.
They were on TNT last night.
Yep.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
They were on TNT last night. The ESPN had the hockey.
Did we need – again, I love Dwayne Wade. Think he's cool?
Yeah.
I had the same thought.
Did we need to jam five guys on a little coffee table?
No.
You know what my thought was?
And it took time away from Barkley.
You know what my thought was when they went to that at halftime? COVID's dead. You remember how big the desks got?
That's right. Yeah.
We had to be 6 feet apart from everybody.
As if that was going to make a damn
even in
difference.
A studio where you're sitting next to the guy all night long and talking face to face. But yes, I had the thought last night looking at him like, COVID's done. That there's a positive.
Although I know more people with COVID right now than I have the entire
scale. Yeah, but Craig,
scale.
That's not important.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying.
I agree. It takes time away. The best
halftime
show.
Wade is on the players? What do they do on Tuesday nights? It's Shaq, it's Wade, it's Candace Parker. Who's the other guy? The host, whoever it is. So he's worked on TNT before.
Yeah. But you don't need him on that show.
I agree.
It just took away from Barkley's minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, they were so scrunched together. You see Shaq's size 18 shoe sitting outside the desk on the right. I mean, it was cramped.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it.
Yes, it was.
And then the other little, in Florida and hosting Tampa Bay, I think it's an absolute must win for the Panthers tonight.
Must win?
I think it's a must win for Florida
Seven
tonight.
Game series. Come on.
No.
Must win or can't lose?
That's because it's at home. You got to get one of these home games.
It's not a must win. It's a can't lose.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you don't want to be down 0-2 going to Tampa.
No, even though they have to play back-to-back nights, which is ridiculous. A day game then a night game. But, yeah, you go
get like 30 hours rest, and they'll be fine.
I think Florida
will respond. Unless it goes double overtime.
Right.
I think the Panthers will respond tonight. I do.
I don't.
It doesn't mean it's going to be my lock.
Because they can't score on the power play, Craig.
Well, that's
they haven't yet.
If you think you're going to score consistently 5-on-5 against Vasilevsky, you're crazy.
Well, he's on fire right now. But it took Tampa and the Toronto series a lot to get going. Their power play was like 0-for-16 too at one point. Not as bad as 0-for-21.
Yes.
And then Tampa's now 3-for-6 in the power play last game in game one. So, yeah, you're right. The Panthers have got to take advantage of some a power play opportunity.
Because they had their chances.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
All 21. Nothing.
Alehouse says, Dwayne Wade can do no wrong. Leave him alone, Craig. And Lifelong Buckeye says, Craig, will you contribute $25 a month to make Indiana football a power? We're not even mentioning IU today.
We should start, and I'm not going to hop on this as I did yesterday, but another absolutely stupid, ignorant, arrogant, uninformed, idiotic statement made earlier today
by
Bart Scott. And? Chris, would you like to tell the audience what Monsieur Scott said about Jimmy Butler this time?
I heard
we
you.
Should take a list. We should just make a list.
Is this who you would pay to watch play?
Yeah. He would. In fact, Jimmy Butler wouldn't even make the top five of anybody's list of who you'd pay to play.
But I don't know why this is a conversation. That's not the conversation.
So like, stupid.
Why is this a conversation?
Let me put it this way. If you never saw Luka Doncic play before last night, would you say you want to go watch him play?
I just
No.
What does that what that doesn't mean anything.
I agree.
In fact, most people would – I would venture to say that – the Lakers were the most expensive ticket for road games this year. Right?
Probably.
Maybe the Nets were right there.
Maybe.
Yeah, unfortunately.
How great did those two franchises do? Like, the ESPN is turning this into, like, the Heat. We bash on the Heat because they don't have Kevin Durant.
That's what it is.
We don't want Kevin Durant. We want the team that we have put on the court that we have rooted for since October.
Right.
And a guy, Jimmy Butler, should have been in the MVP conversation. And so should even at the end, second half at least, you know, Tatum should have been in it as well for what both of those guys. And this just goes to show you how misinformed. Like I said, if you watched Luka Doncic last night and never saw him play, you'd go, what's the big deal? If you saw Jimmy Butler play for the first time, you'd be like, it's not just the shooting. If you watch him all year long, it's the blocks, it's the steals, it's the leadership. It is so much more than just because Kevin KD is a better, bigger name.
They've manipulated their conversation on this series because they looked like idiots after game one. So now they've got to position it into, well, they're just not a sexy enough team.
Yeah.
They make the dumbest points. They talk on one hand about superstars, and then they say on the next, 2 minutes later, this Heat reminds me of the 04 Pistons.
Yeah.
Go back and look at who the Pistons beat. They beat Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Karl Malone, and Gary Payton.
Yep.
Those are four bigger stars than anybody on the Pistons. It doesn't matter.
Does anybody ever go back and say, hey.
It doesn't matter.
All I remember is Miami won the championship that year. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Nobody remembers.
When
you won, you didn't have a, you know, like you said, Chauncey Billups.
Chauncey was your biggest star, and nobody.
I don't know what.
And who cares? All you know is they won the title.
I don't know what this thing is that ESPN has, and it feels like they just have it against the Miami Heat specifically. I don't know what it is, but a guy has been, quote unquote, the guy on his team for the fourth season now, I want to say. Third or fourth season, whatever it is. He's gotten his team to the Eastern Conference Finals twice.
Yeah. Now,
two of the last three years. Well, this is the thing in basketball, right? Doesn't matter what you do in the regular season.
Right.
You show up in the postseason, we give you your respect. Unless you're Jimmy Butler and we don't watch you play all year and we don't know anything about your team and we look like morons talking on the national platform. I had to mute them two different times today.
Yeah.
All right, we'll continue the discussion. 239-337 ESPN. Sound Street next. More from Nick and Jimbo. We will do all of that. Bill Burr tickets along the way as well. Don't forget tomorrow's show at Backstreets. And the PGA Championship is going on at Southern Hills. Rory just in at -5, shooting a 65 today. He's atop the leaderboard by a stroke over Will Zalatoris. Anyway, we'll continue our coverage today, tomorrow, and throughout the weekend right here, brought to you by Golf Galaxy, Twin Peaks, and ShutterUp.com. Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN, Southwest Florida.
Cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, here we go. In case you missed it earlier, Nick Saban out speaking yesterday, criticizing Jimbo Fisher at A&M and how they handle NIL, name, image, and likeness, and paying for players, and even took a shot at Dion at Jackson State. Meanwhile, proclaiming that he is doing everything by the book at Alabama. He says the problem with nil, he explains what the collective is. This is on AL.com.
The issue and the problem with name, image, and likeness is coaches trying to create an advantage for themselves. I went out and said, okay, how could we use this to our advantage? They created what's called a collective. All right, a collective is an outside marketing agency that's not tied to the university, that's funded by alumni from the university. And they give this collective millions of dollars. And that marketing agency then funnels it to the players. All right, and the coach actually knows how much money's in the collective, so he knows how much he can promise every player. That's not what name, image, and likeness was supposed to be. That's what it's become, and that's the problem in college athletics right now.
Okay. Here he is. Players won't commit without knowing how much coin they're going to get.
We have players in our state that grew up wanting to come to Alabama that they won't commit to us unless we say we're going to give them what somebody else is going to give them. And my theory on that is everything that we've done in college athletics has always been equal. Your scholarship is equal. They get equal Alston money. They get equal cost of attendance. They get equal academic support. They get equal medical attention. Everything has always been equal. So I told our players, I said, we're going to have a collective, but everybody's going to get the same amount of opportunity from that collective. Now, you can go earn however much you want. And I tell the recruits the same thing, because our job is not to buy you to come to school here.
Okay. Yeah. Here is more. He says this model that we're currently following is, for at least for Alabama, compared to what A&M is doing, is unsustainable. This is on AL.com.
And I don't know how you manage your locker room, and I don't know if this is a sustainable model, because one of you folks are going to give some player that comes to our school a bunch of money to come to our school. And then you're going to come to the game in full strut, thinking I'm going to tell everybody I got that guy to come to Alabama. And then he's not going to play, and he's going to transfer, and you're going to say, I'm never going to do this again. All right, so I don't know how it works. I don't know how you sustain a model like that.
Well, right. Everybody has to go through the same thing, and that's the risk that you do take. That's the risk that you do take, but it's – We've already seen it happen. It's been a bunch of transfers this year. The girls from Fresno State came to Miami to play basketball because they get better nil deals than Fresno State.
They're paying at Miami pretty good. And at A&M, as Nick Saban said. We played that earlier.
Alabama will be fine.
Jimbo, of course, said that he denies they buy the players. Here's more from Jimbo after calling Saban a narcissist. Here's cut seven. Fisher, shots fired at Saban, says go dig into his past.
Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it's personal to us? Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. Know him really well. It's amazing that we're allowed to do those things. It's really despicable.
That's about as close as you're going to come to calling somebody a cheater.
Oh, yeah. Or manipulator, yeah. Whatever other, you know, you want to. And it's funny, though, when you first start listening to that cut, I go, is he talking about God or is he talking about Saban? You know, he goes, go ask God how he manipulated. I was like, yeah, that Cain and Abel thing, overrated.
It's interchangeable in one of the states.
I'm going through all this stuff from the Bible. I'm going, geez, God did well. Okay.
If you ever wonder why we talk about media and why it's important for good follow up questions, and we'll get angry at some of the cupcake stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
Jimbo Fisher just said, "Go ask one of his assistants."
Now somebody should.
Jimbo,
You're
an assistant.
You're an assistant.
There was no follow up. Hey, Jimbo.
I know.
There should have been a.
I agree.
Well, Jimbo, you worked with Nick. What happened while you were at LSU together?
Yeah. Yeah. Good question. Didn't happen.
No follow-up there.
Here's Fisher, the second time this offseason he's had to address these allegations.
A couple of things, Jimbo. First of all, have you had any contact with Nick since?
No. Oh, he's called.
You just didn't take the call?
Not going to. We're done.
And
he showed you who he is.
And then I just wanted to.
He's the greatest ever, huh?
And then I just wanted
you
to.
You got all the advantages? Huh? It's easy.
I mislabeled that clearly.
But that's all right. That's all right.
Speaking of follow-up questions, the guy didn't ever change. Well, you know, he probably still should have asked that question Chris was just relating to. Hey, you were an assistant, so give us an example.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, I'm just gobsmacked over this whole situation. I love that word from Finney.
Yeah, it's a great word.
And for those, Lane Kiffin, a couple months ago, made a very funny comment saying that Texas A&M was going to get hit with a luxury tax with how much money they've paid out to their players.
And Jimbo replied to that by saying he's a clown show.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So,
and Lane doesn't care. He knows he's doing it. I mean,
I don't think Nick cares. You fight for your program. Yeah. And if you see somebody else is doing it better and maybe you can get them to stop, I think you owe it to your fan base and your school to say, hey, just so everybody knows, this is what's happening over here.
Yeah, no, I think
it doesn't make
this
it
is
right.
Just Nick calling for the blitz on a third down. That's all that is. This is a third down blitz.
And he addressed it, but you know, he kind of insinuated, he goes, well, if one of you guys, meaning the business leaders he spoke to last night, this is why this was a carefully thought out by him. He just could have said it in a different way.
Yes.
Parts of it anyway. That, you know, oh, well, one of you guys are going to give somebody, you know, a widget of $100,000, but then you might, you know, if he doesn't play enough, if I think he's not doing his job or playing enough, he's going to transfer, and then you guys are going to go away. I think a lot of these – and I'm sure there is going to be some of that. Hey, Nick, I'm going to get you this guy. I'm going to get you guy a big deal here, but it's kind of wink, wink, nod, nod, gentleman's agreement that he's going to play. You know, he's going to play a lot. And I'm sure Nick is going to say, hey, I can only say that, you know, he's one of nine. He's going to get a shot. Guarantee him a start.
So that's the thing here is I want to see what happens when you've got – if you're Alabama or Texas A&M. Let's stay with Texas A&M for the example. You've paid your five-star senior quarterback all this money for 4 years. Mm-hmm. You've got a freshman five-star quarterback signed up. Mm-hmm. This is what starting quarterback money is at A&M.
Yeah.
How can you go recruit another quarterback at that point? Will it affect your ability to recruit another quarterback at that point? Will a five-star quarterback say, I won't play but for 1 year, but they're giving me so much money, I've got to go there.
Well, use this example right now. Arch Manning is going to see what the next guy on the depth chart at Alabama's make. Maybe he's got a $2 million nil deal. He's like, well, he's going to play. He's also probably already a four- or five-star. Maybe I'll go somewhere else where a nil deal isn't in place for the guy I'm trying to beat up for a job.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Although I think Arch Manning may set all sorts of records.
See, I think that
at nil. You don't think so?
I think that's a bad example. I think that his family has shielded him from the spotlight for so long that they've. I don't think he's going to go and try to chase every buck.
I think the guy that I'm looking forward to seeing is Quinn Ewers if he can beat out Hudson Card for the start. I mean, that's the guy
Texas.
That went to Ohio State for an hour and then said, I'm going to go to Texas.
But made a few million dollars.
He did.
To Ohio State. And, you know, if C.J. Stroud was not good, which he closed the book on that story pretty quickly. But if he was slow out of the blocks, there were going to be Ohio State fans calling for Quinn Ewers to get in the game.
All right, we got the 3 o'clock hour coming up. We're running a little late. We'll continue this conversation. It is fascinating. Got another NBA game tonight. And good news for Celtics fans. We'll share that with you in a moment. Sheeman and Shepherd, don't forget tomorrow at Backstreets at Cape Coral. Come out and join us. Sheeman and Shepherd, ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.